Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, June 5th. I'm Abby Larico. We've been reporting this week on the difficulty the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department had with solving homicides between 2014 and 2023. And reporting by St. Louis Public Radio, APM Reports, and the Marshall Project found the department kept detectives in the unit even after a supervisor claimed they repeatedly failed to perform basic investigative tasks.
The turning a blind eye is part of this overall process of the police department and the thin blue line protecting itself.
St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more on the investigation's finding coming up on The Gateway. The Missouri Supreme Court has set an execution date for Marcellus Williams. The judges ruled Tuesday that Williams can be put to death for a 1998 murder. That's despite the fact that prosecutors have filed a motion to throw out the conviction because they no longer believe Williams is guilty. The execution is set for September 24th. A former state Supreme Court judge says that may be a signal to the lower court to move the process of hearing that motion along. Attorneys for Williams did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis will soon welcome new companies to its North St. Louis Business Plaza. The league is receiving $750,000 in federal funding to help with renovations. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The Urban League plans to renovate its nearly 43,000 square foot business plaza off Arbert Avenue and Page Boulevard to attract Black-owned businesses to the area. The league envisions about 12 new businesses opening after renovation. It also plans to build a fitness center in the space. Congresswoman Cori Bush awarded the nonprofit the funds as part of the federal community funding project. She said in a statement that the over $18 million in direct funding to St. Louis will create jobs, enhance public safety, deliver public health services, build housing units, and support families. The league is also opening a women's business center in North St. Louis next month. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's top education leader, Margie Van Deven, is stepping down next month. She led the state's education department through the mass shutdown of schools and shift to remote learning at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Van Deven said school attendance has not recovered. A quarter of the state's students are now chronically absent.
If one student is not there, it makes a difference on all of them. And so how do we make sure people understand that their presence is expected and it impacts others when they're not there?
Republican State Senator Carla Esslinger is the state's next commissioner of education. Illinois Democrats are betting that increasing taxes on certain forms of gambling will pay off for the state in next year's budget. Capital News Illinois reports lawmakers are hiking taxes on Illinois' sports betting market in addition to a slight increase in the tax on video gaming terminals, one of the fastest growing sources of revenue for the state. Governor J.B. Pritzker had floated more than doubling taxes on sportsbooks in Illinois when he presented his budget proposal in February, but ended up getting more than he'd asked for. The projected $235 million in extra gambling revenues will go toward both general state spending and infrastructure projects. Big sportsbooks pushed back on the tax hikes, but skeptics say the big names are earning more from Illinois' market than they let on. A life-sized cast of the best-known dinosaur fossil ever discovered is at the St. Louis Science Center. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, Sue the T-Rex offers a closer look into ancient history.
The traveling exhibit invites visitors to see, touch, and smell a Tyrannosaurus rex. The nearly complete fossil allowed scientists to recreate bacteria and simulate the smell of T-Rex breath. Kalia Eskew, Special Exhibitions Manager at the museum, says it's a display to remember.
So in there you're going to be smelling bacteria, flesh, a lot of it rotting, and your face says it all right there.
Yeah. Sue's skeletal cast is 40 feet long and 13 feet tall. Another display shows a life-size Triceratops. Visitors can play interactive games and see actual fossils from Sue and other dinosaurs. The ticketed exhibit opens Saturday and will be in town until September. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
There were more than 1,900 people killed in the city of St. Louis between 2014 and 2023, and the homicide detectives of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department were able to solve less than half of those cases. There are a number of factors that contribute to whether those detectives can clear a case, but an investigation by St. Louis Public Radio, APM Reports, and the Marshall Project raised serious concerns about officers assigned to SLMPD's homicide unit. I spoke with STLPR's Rachel Lippman about the findings.
The investigation found a range of behaviors by homicide detectives. Some had minor blemishes on their records, such as being rude to people they encountered, but others faced more serious accusations.
Any officers in particular that raised red flags?
Ronald Vaughn. He had some credibility issues and multiple accusations of police brutality. A veteran homicide sergeant, Heather Taylor, was willing to work overnights shorthanded to avoid having him on her squad. But the homicide commander overruled her and brought Vaughn on board in 2019. This is according to a deposition Taylor gave in 2022 as part of a civil rights lawsuit filed by protesters against the city. Taylor immediately began getting complaints about Vaughn's behavior, which she documented in an email to higher-ranking officers. We obtained a copy of that email, as well as memos that Taylor had written about other officers under her command.
What other concerns did Taylor have about her detectives?
She said that some, like Craig Robertson, didn't take basic investigative steps, and his failure to do that had real consequences for victims' families. The case of Kelvin Phillips is a prime example. He was the oldest of Angel Mays's five kids. She told me he loved football, food, and his friends and family, and that he was a really good father to a son, who everyone calls Baby. Kelvin was shot and killed at 19 on August 1st, 2018, and May says at first Robertson was very polite and sympathetic.
And actually encouraging, reassuring that he was going to do everything within his power to find out what happened.
But it wasn't long before Mays stopped hearing from Robertson. She was so frustrated, she emailed the chief of police seeking answers. And Taylor says in her memos that Robertson wasn't doing everything he could. Her memo says that he did not look into a person of interest's vehicle registration or phone location data. And then Taylor's memo says Robertson apparently lied and said he had taken those steps. I showed Mays the memo that Taylor had written about her son's case, and her first response was,
"This is crazy."
There were other cases Taylor noted where a detective failed to look for surveillance videos that could identify a suspect or forgot to take DNA evidence from a suspect.
Rachel, did Robertson face any consequences?
Taylor says she wrote the memos to start the internal disciplinary process, but that she heard nothing about her concerns with Robertson, Vaughn, or other detectives. Keith Rose, with the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression, says the department often doesn't want to do the investigations.
The turning a blind eye is part of this overall process of the police department and the thin blue line protecting itself.
Taylor's former supervisor, a retired lieutenant named Scott Aubuchon, says he would look into every complaint he got, but not everything rose to the level of an official internal affairs investigation.
How do officers like that get into homicide?
A lot of it is who you know. The homicide commander has always had a lot of say. It was also made possible by previous union contracts rewarding seniority over skill and explicitly prohibiting the consideration of most disciplinary history. Now, the contract doesn't mention anything about seniority, and there's no limits on disciplinary history. But officers just don't want to become homicide detectives.
How has the department responded to this investigation?
The department did not make anyone available and did not respond to written questions. Ronald Vaughn did not respond to emails or letters. He was terminated in March 2021. Craig Robertson retired from the department in late May. He also did not respond to emails, phone calls, or a certified letter. We had to go to court to get critical pieces of data to do this investigation. The department also would not provide a roster of current homicide detectives, citing concerns about officer safety. That means we don't know all of the officers who are responsible for these complex investigations.
Rachel Lippman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can read more of the investigation into homicide clearance rates at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.